Get into Totally Workwear Richmond, Bell Tower Centre, 340 to 356 South Road, Richmond, for all your workwear, corporate wear and safety gear.
Open 7 days.
Brew and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Hey, Roo, right, I just want to give a shout-out. I know it's in the paper today, it's front page, but I think it's worth mentioning because these things are just, this is what warms your heart. But there's a restaurant in Lee Street, which I've been to, and it's a top-shelf restaurant called Shibosho. They do beautiful Asian food, what they call Asian fusion these days, I guess, giving out food to homeless people. Now, when you walk through the city streets these days, we do see quite a few homeless. The numbers seem to be increasing. And I just think, what an incredible gesture for these people in hard times to not only give their own time to cook the food and make it, but to actually give it out to homeless people. What incredible gesture that is. And the other one, there's a restaurant in North Adelaide called Zape, I think you pronounce it, Z-A-E-P, or Zape. And this is in the paper as well today in the Advertiser, that they are giving out beautiful Thai food, Asian food, to anyone that's lost their job. And there's a sign out the front, and they're all in beautiful takeaway packages. And they're saying, and he's saying it's a real Buddhist thing to do, the fellow that owns the restaurant. He's from Thailand. And I just think it's worth mentioning people like that. How good are those people doing these types of things, Roo?
Well, it's unbelievable, Dits, because it's costly. You know, that's not cheap. You got labour, you got food costs, which are never high. You know, that's probably, it's 35%, 40% of what you normally pay for a meal is just food costs. And then wages are another, 30-odd percent there as well. So whatever he is giving away, that is at great expense. Plus, if he's giving it away in a takeaway pack or something like that as well, he's giving away a lot of money. But it is a great deed, Dits. Well done on bringing that up. Yesterday, South Australia, 30 new cases. Dits, on top of the 30-odd we had the day before. The Qantas cases rise to 13, so we had five more handlers down at the airport, and now that has spread to their families. Two family members tied up with baggage handlers have now been infected as well. So we've got 367 in South Australia at this stage. So, not so good of news there, but they're the stats. The JobKeeper program that got announced a couple of days ago, which is $1,500 a fortnight for full-time, part-time or casuals for more than 12 months, 370,000 businesses in Australia have taken up that offer in a couple of days. Now, to give you an example, it's 370,000. We did the numbers at the ALMA yesterday. We've got 12 full-time and 27 casuals that have been with us for over 12 months. So we've got approximately 40 people at our little business. 40 times 370,000, like it's massive numbers. You know, that's huge numbers of people that can get $1,500 a fortnight into their pocket, minus a little bit of tax, not have to go to the dole queue, not have to be unemployed, not have to sit on the phone for 2 hours waiting to get through to Centrelink. It's a good program, and it's a real tick in the box for the politicians. Well done on that one.
From the world of sport, Roo, Wimbledon will not take place this year. And I think we all knew that, but we're just waiting for them to announce. It's the first time in 85 years that the greatest traditional tennis tournament in the world won't take place. But as I said, understandable in these circumstances. Hey, later on this morning, we're going to play some audio to you from Eddie Maguire and Tony Jones in Melbourne. I don't know if you've caught up with this, but boy, have they had a crack at each other. Tempers raged.
Well, I think it was more Eddie Maguire having a crack at Tony Jones. Tony was trying to get a headline out of Eddie, and Eddie was just trying to make Tony understand that if clubs start giving back money for members, there won't be a club next year, Dits, basically. That's how grim it is for footy clubs out there in Australia at the moment.
Hey, what about petrol prices? This is a good news story to come out of all of this. Our boss, Matt O'Reilly, has told us this morning on his way in, 79 cents a litre. Roo, it costs more to bloody drink a litre of water. 79 cents a litre for petrol. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, and probably half of that is government tax as well. So where do we get petrol at 79? I might have to come for a drive.
I know.
Where is it?
I think it's in the western suburb somewhere. He lives down that way.
Well, if anyone had known, Matt would know, wouldn't he?
They are the top three things making news today, all thanks to Totally Workwear. Roo, this question has been asked every day since the coronavirus situation raised its ugly head. Should our schools be open? Should teachers have to be teaching in crowded environments? I know of one school where there are 1,000 people on the campus. I think if any of you mention, what's the big school out north where they've got 3,000 people in the
Trinity?
In the midst? Is it Trinity? That's right. Should our schools still be open? Lara Golding is the president of the SA branch of the Australian Education Union, and she joins us this morning. Lara, good morning. Thanks for your time. What's your view? Should our schools be open or not?
Well, we've been calling for pupil free days from last week, and that's to ensure the health and safety of staff who work in schools and preschools, and also to ensure that we have time to be able to develop online learning and new ways of learning for next term.
With the 4 days next week that everyone's having pupil free days, will that be enough time plus a little bit of time over the holidays to get the online system up and going, Lara, or do you need longer than that?
Well, educators are working really hard to try and put things in place, but the reality is that this is a real change in the way that we deliver curriculum. I'm a science teacher, and I'm used to planning lessons where the students are doing a lot of hands-on activity. Now, trying to transfer that into an online environment would be quite a challenge, and it would take quite some time to be able to do that successfully.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any evidence out yet from the doctors that suggesting that kids are spreading the disease yet? Have we had any community transitions from kids to adults?
Not that I'm aware of in South Australia, but certainly overseas we do know that there have been a number of children that have contracted the disease and been quite gravely ill from it. So we know that children can get the disease. We're really concerned about the inability for teachers to be able to manage social distancing in the classroom and in the playground, and the lack of proper protections in terms of sanitising products and cleaning in our schools and preschools.
Lara, I've asked the question on this program a few times over the last few weeks, and I'm sure you've looked into it, but why would the UK close all schools without exception, except obviously for those parents that work in essential services, we know that, but they closed all schools. The state of Victoria closed its schools. They went to holidays early, yet we haven't and other states haven't. Why is it so inconsistent?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. It really concerns me, this lack of consistency and the confusion around how to best manage this disease. The truth is that there's a lot of conflicting information out there, and I'm yet to see evidence from our Premier as to why he thinks SA is that different to Victoria or the UK.
But why are we saying they're right, though, Dits?
Well, and that's a good question to ask too, but we need to be on the same page, and it's about the consistency. Someone's right and someone's wrong, and that's what I'm putting to Lara, that, what is right and what is wrong? And
but for some reason, we're not even enforcing the restrictions that New South Wales are doing for gatherings. Like, you're allowed to have up to 10 here, and you're allowed to have 2 in New South Wales. So there's lots of things that are different from state to state at the moment, isn't there? And I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong, by the way.
No, but fair enough. Lara, I'm confused about this as well. When we come back from these holidays, I know you're gearing up now for online teaching. Are schools open after this holiday period, or aren't they?
Well, our view is that children of essential workers should be able to bring their kids to school if they need to, if they cannot manage otherwise suitable care arrangements. But our view is that otherwise children should be staying at home and stopping the spread of coronavirus.
I think I'm right in saying this, Lara. The first week back, all kids are online, aren't they, even at public schools?
That's the intention, yes, that learning will move to online.
Yeah, and this brings me to the next question, and I don't want to isolate any groups here or pick on any groups, but lower socioeconomic areas, Lara, are we equipped for those? Have they got things like computers and laptops in their homes where they can be homeschooled?
Well, there's certainly enough concerns about equity, and in terms of funding for our schools, we've been saying for many years now that there's an inequitable system of funding in our schools, and that there are a lot of private schools that are receiving excessive amounts of government funding, where our public schools in some cases are not receiving enough government funding. So this is really bringing to light a lot of those inequities in our education system.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Thank you so much, Lara. And I know you're going to be really busy, so we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Roo and Dits.
Good on you. Lara Golding, President of the SA branch of the Australian Education Union. Rue, you are a parent of many, many kids. Are you confident moving forward? Are your kids going to get the education?
Well, I can just tell you what's happening with my kids. So I've got five at school. Nick, who is 11, is doing online from home at the moment. Sophie's done one day at home as a trial, but she's still going to school other than that. I've got three kids at a public school, Burnside Primary. They've been continuing to go to school, but kids in the class is about a third to a half of the amount of kids in the class. So that's how many parents have already decided to take them out. They have got pupil-free days all next week leading into Easter, so they'll be home. And then the first week back from school, at this stage, it's going online. And then we'll, you know, potentially be continuing to go online after that. And right as we speak, a couple of minutes ago, my wife just come down and said the kids don't want to go to school. So they've basically formed
their
own.
They're out on strike.
They're on strike. They've got their own union. They want to stay home. But I'm tipping it's got nothing to do with coronavirus, Dits. They've just had a guts full and they want to stay home. So I think they'll get their own way today.
But as you told us a few weeks ago, Rue, the people in Burnside are much smarter than the rest of us anyway.
Oh.
So if they miss a few days of school, well, that's what you told us. So they can afford to miss a few days of school.
Hang on.
Rue, look, you raised a good point. Why? Who's right, who's wrong? I just can't believe we've got this many people in a school campus setting, not social distancing. I don't know why it's still happening myself, but
well,
how
many cases have you heard of kids spreading the disease, Dits? How many cases have you heard the Premier or the SA Health tell you that they've spread?
No, I can't say there's any, but I'll ask the question again. Why, in other parts of the world, are schools closing down?
Dits, I know you love Bunnings, and I know you love Bunnings for many reasons, but probably sausages number one. But you're going to love Bunnings for a different reason now. They are launching a whole new range of equipment that you can get at Bunnings. Well, I'll go straight to the point, to be honest. I won't beat around the bush. This is good news for you because I know you were really, really upset about a week ago. You got your wife to scroll through the internet to look for some gym equipment for your house so that you wouldn't beef up and look like Porky the Pig when you come out.
They said there was a waiting list for a couple of months.
Yep, that's right. There was a waiting list for a couple of months, even though we had a phone call from Amanda from the Adelaide Hills who had an exercise bike that she was happy to drop around to your house free of charge.
How were we going to get it around to my place? Like,
she was going to drop it around, Dits. She was going to drop it around free of charge. Okay. She said that. But anyway, back to Bunnings. Bunnings have now, they are stocking gym equipment, okay? So treadmills.
Why would they do that?
Treadmills.
Listen, Bunnings, stick to what you know, seriously.
Treadmills, elliptical
tools,
machines, exercise bike, rowing machines. They can all be delivered to your home. You can get yoga mats, resistance bands, skipping ropes.
Listen,
these
Bunnings,
are all available, Dits.
Bunnings.
I know you wanted an exercise bike, Dits. I've even discovered you can get a smaller one for $129 or you can get a resistance version for $299.
This all sounds good. My nearest Bunnings is miles away.
Dits, did you not hear me? They will deliver to you.
Oh, okay. Right.
For nothing. All right. So
we might be out. There's every chance we wouldn't be at home. I mean, in these times, it sounds a bit difficult,
Ruth. If you are going to have breakfast, morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, and supper, and consume a minimum of 3 hot cross buns a day, you better ring Bunnings now and get online and get some gym equipment right to your joint.
Yeah, you just said a small bike. I don't think that'll suffice, to be honest.
No excuses anymore, Dits. There you go. Bunnings now, stock your gym equipment.
All right, something that affects everyone out there, parents, grandparents and the kids. We keep asking the question, should our schools be open? We're going to hear from the Teachers Union a little bit later on. They want schools to close. We'll find out why. Ruined It's on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Now, Ru, as you know, we're all working from home. Many people are. And so I've had a bit of time to sit on the computer and I've been finding it, you know, just some things that I've observed, just different things I've read and caught up with about how people are handling this whole situation right around the world.
You just told me about a golfer that you'd been reading about. That was interesting.
The hottest golfer in the world. No, as in her form. She's in hot form. Paige Spirinac. Yeah.
Yeah, she's very...
That'll get people back playing golf. Don't worry about that. Anyway, things I've observed around the place. First, here's number one, all right? My observations. The Jehovah's Witnesses are very happy because they know everyone's going to be home.
That's right. So their door knocking's going very well at the moment.
Yeah, there you go. Number two, the other observation wasn't that funny, Roo. A friend of mine went to the doctor the other day.
Oh no!
And the doctor said, "Have you visited any countries experiencing the coronavirus epidemic in the last 2 weeks?" Yeah. He said, "Yes, Australia." I didn't say these were good. The next one, I've read about the famous Hollywood producer who's bunkered down in his house in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino. He now calls himself Tenton Quarantino.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Corona Beer are worried about their image, so they've changed their name to Ebola Beer. Now, here's a serious stat for you. A friend of mine turned 60 this week. Do you know, by turning 60 overnight, he's doubled his chances of dying, believe it or not. So if you're in the 50... No, this is true. If you're in the 50 to 59 bracket, you're a 1.6% chance of dying. 60 to 69, you're a 3.2% chance of dying. He's actually doubled his chances of dying overnight.
Oh, that's the worst birthday he's ever had.
I know. So lie about your age in future. If you're a bank teller, don't be concerned if people come in wearing masks, Roo.
Why is that? Because they're not going to rob you.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I thought that was... Do I have to explain these gags?
Or no,
I thought
no, that was just, obvious. You know,
right, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. They're the observations that I've made in the last few days.
Can you do that every day for us, please?
No,
seriously.
I won't.
I'm going to go and have an Ebola beer later on. Don't worry.
Okay. Ruined It's on Triple M. It's all thanks to Bob Jane T-Marts here on Triple M. Get cash back on their top tyre brands.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Hi, he joins us twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. Good morning, Lemo.
G'day, guys. Lovely to be with you. Hey, I really enjoyed that chat you just had with Nicola, who's saying, is it the Intercontinental in Sydney?
It is.
Oh, yeah. Not such a good review for them. She said I'd prefer Christmas Island.
Oh, exactly what I was thinking. The poor buggers are shut down. They're giving a service to the government and they're getting slammed.
And they're getting absolutely smashed. She needs to watch the Shawshank Redemption and break out of that joint somehow.
You know what, Lemo, that's what I was saying. You know when you get those emails after you've been somewhere, please rate your stay with us. I think it's going to go that well.
On a scale of one to Christmas Island, how did we go?
That's right.
Oh, jeez. Hey, we're all, of course, broadcasting from home today because everyone's in isolation due to the coronavirus. And this is applying, of course, right across the media. Have a listen to where Tracy Grimshaw has been broadcasting from on A Current Affair.
Hello, I'm Tracy Grimshaw. Welcome to A Current Affair. Tonight, we're coming to you from my bedroom. I have a small crew here for the first night.
A small crew in a bedroom for the first night. How very interesting. Well, good news is, guys, they did embrace the change and they accordingly altered the A Current Affair theme on the next night.
I've heard people say that.
Hello, I'm Tracy Grimshaw. Welcome to A Current Affair, coming to you again tonight from my place.
Those last words, just a small crew in my bedroom.
Just a small crew in my bedroom.
Just a little threesome.
That's going to be played back to her 1,000 times across this year. And I'll tell you, a Channel 10 reporter... Now, I didn't get this reporter's name, but whoever she is, she deserves a pay rise for keeping a straight face on Channel 10 News in Melbourne last night. It was a story about people breaching the government's coronavirus rules. Have a listen to this.
An additional 9 fines have been issued, including one at a Frankston business, a Frankston massage parlour. In fact, members, officers from the Sex Industry Coordination Unit attended a massage parlour there where they found a man receiving non-essential services.
I'd like to argue that in court, actually.
Yeah, he didn't agree with that.
whose opinion? Was it non-essential?
We'd like to take a vote, Your Honour.
Yeah. I think it was essential for the masseuse because she was making money, and it was essential for the man because he was under extreme pressure.
Yeah. Exactly. And you've got to manage your life very carefully at the moment. You know, in China, true story, China was the first country to lock down, right? Where... and they've been locked down for a couple of months now, particularly in Wuhan. They've just had a spike in divorce rates. Mm-hmm. So people are spending way too much time together. So maybe it was an essential service.
Exactly right.
That was being provided there. And now, probably buried the lead here, guys, as well. I've got some good news. The coronavirus, COVID-19, has actually been eradicated in the United States. Did you know about this?
Oh, wow. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, an evangelical preacher, Kenneth Copeland, killed it on his TV show.
Yeah, so it's all
done now. He had about a 5-minute lead up to what I'm about to play you, but this is the very end of it. He got very angry with COVID-19, called it the devil, said God is going to strike it down, and this is how it ended.
You will destroy through COVID-19. No more!
No more! No more!
It!
No more!
Is finished.
Finished.
It is over. And the United States of America is healed and well.
Thank you.
Again.
The spirit life of COVID-19 has dried up.
It's dead.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Done. It has ceased.
Yes.
It has ceased to exist.
Yes.
Yeah, there it is. Back to work tomorrow, guys. All good.
Oh, thanks God for that.
And then, Limo, what happened after that? What happened after that? A little thing came up at the bottom of the screen. Just send your credit card details to this address. And if you could please donate $200 per head, and you will be rid of this evil disease.
This evil disease. Didn't quite read the small print. I think there might have been an asterisk also that said, promises may not be real.
No,
is that one of Trump's advisors, that fella, or not?
That you might see that guy at Trump's press conference today. Look out for him.
Yeah. Good work, mate.
Good on you, Limo.
All right, good on you guys. See you later.
All right, stay safe.
Hey,
we'll talk again on Monday.
Are you still there, Limo?
Yes, mate.
Have you got your wife and kid back yet, or are you just by yourself?
No, they're still operating remotely on a farm about an hour away.
Unbelievable you are.
I'm
See
still
if you
flying.
Find still another flying farm for my wife and kids, can you?
I need a slightly bigger property for your lot, but I'll have a look around.
Good on you, Limo. Hey, in a moment, we're going to play this team arts. Rue, tell us what happened. Last night, a live cross on the Channel 9 News in Melbourne.
Yeah, well, Tony Jones had Eddie Maguire, the Collingwood president, Triple M breakfast show host, on to talk about whether Collingwood Football Club would refund memberships if the members required it.
You're not listening to me, Tony. You're trying to get a headline.
No.
This is what we don't
need.
No, mate.
I'm not trying to get a headline, Eddie. I'm trying to get an answer. If a member comes to you and says they want their money back, will you give the money back?
Tony, I just said to you, if you've got financial hardship, speak to your club. We're there to help you. We always do. We do this year in, year out with people who've got financial hardship. What I'm saying to you, though, Tony, is this is more than just a transaction. This is people who love their club, and it means more to them. Now, Tony... You want to hear what the answer is, or do you want to keep asking questions?
No, we're running out of time, but you can love your club without actually putting your hand in your pocket, too.
And, Tony, if we don't have enough people putting their hand in the pocket, there will be no club. It's as simple as
that. Okay, unfortunately, there's a lot of empty pockets, Ed. Anyway,
and they'll be looked after, Tony. Don't make this into people taking money out of people's pockets.
No.
Wind me up when you're with a smart-ass last line, okay?
No.
This is desperate stakes, and don't try and make a headline.
I'm not trying to make a headline, Eddie.
Right?
Anyway, there'll be more. There'll be more in Footy Classified tonight.
Supporters, okay?
Righto. Eddie, thank you for joining us.
Now, Rue, that was meant to be a friendly cross saying this is what's coming up on Footy Classified later on tonight on Channel 9. And
he's under pressure. that's how under pressure Eddie is, and he's just trying to get the point across that if members want to get their money back because there aren't any games played this year, you probably won't have a football club. What he's trying to say is it's more than just a transaction to get to go and see X amount of games. The money that you are paying your football club is actually going to keep your football club afloat. But if you are in seriously bad financial situation, ring your club and they will basically give you your money back. But he's just trying to emphasise if lots of people do it, you're not going to have a footy club next year.
All right, Eddie was able to calm down overnight, and then he spoke on his breakfast show in Melbourne this morning on Triple M.
We do this all the time with people, every year, as I mentioned there, with people if they've fallen on hard times. But this is about a membership. It's not a transaction. It's not like you're actually for a refund. The memberships actually keep you alive for 12 months of the year. So a lot of our members have actually put their money in, started putting their membership in October to us. Well, that money's been spent to keep the place open until this time. We will help people. Of course we will. We will help them. But I'm just begging people, if you want your club to survive, it's your club. That's what a club membership base is all about.
All right. A bit calmer this morning.
Yeah, a bit calmer this morning. But he is under enormous pressure, like lots of people in footy clubs are at the moment, Dits. They've spent all the money, as you do at this time of the year, in preparation for all the money to come rolling in round one through the gates, through membership and through sponsorship. So right now, clubs have spent $50 million. And they're waiting for the money to come in. So, he's feeling the heat like a lot of people are, Dits, whether you're a president of a football club or you're just a mum and dad trying to pay your mortgage and put food on the table for your kids. Everyone is under the pump, and we need to look after each other at the moment, don't we?
Yep, 8:49, Roo and Dits on Triple Roo. As we know, our finances are becoming more and more important and crucial decisions that we'll need to make on a daily basis now with what's going on. So we thought we'd get an expert on to help us out.
We did, and we've got Dom Cassisi, former captain of Port Adelaide. He's now the managing director of Funding Options, and he specialises in finance broking, and he joins us now. G'day, Dom.
G'day, boys. How are you?
You might have to bail out the Port Adelaide Footy Club and the Adelaide Footy Club the way they're going at the moment. Can you get a $20 million loan for them?
Oh, mate, they might have to join the queue. I mean, there's a fair line of it. It is just crazy times, isn't it? It's been unbelievable. And then I guess for us in the world I live in with finance, it's been a really busy few weeks just trying to help people. And that's a mix of, people wanting the, deferred loan repayments, and then businesses, like you're saying, that need money to try and trade through. So yeah, it's interesting times.
Dom, my bank this week has dropped our interest rate to 2.29%. We had a caller ring in the other day and say they got 2.1%. What are you hearing out there? What should people be expecting to get from their bank right now?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, for own-occupied debt, so the loan associated to your main residence, it's anywhere from 2.09 to, 2.49, really. So, so you're right in the money there with what you're saying there, Dits, what some of the callers have said they're getting. And then for those people that have like investment loans, and that's, that's normally a little bit higher. So we're seeing some of those fixed rates for investment loans at about 2.59. So I guess what we're seeing is a lot of people that are still gainfully employed, and they're more than ever, they're actually looking in, taking the time to see what they can save. Because, for some people that can be $10,000, $15,000 a year. Yeah. On their interest costs, which is massive at the moment.
Dom, I don't know if you can answer this question, but we had a caller ring in yesterday and say that some banks are letting us defer things like business loans, and my bank is helping me out, which I'm really grateful for. NAB, they've come to the party.
Yeah.
When it comes to paying again, let's say they defer for 6 months, are they going to whack on all of that lost interest in that time at the end of my payments? Or is it... The caller was suggesting yesterday that we're actually going to pay compound interest. So it's going to keep growing and growing. All of those months where we're not actually paying it off, it's going to grow and grow and grow. Are you able to explain that in layman's terms or not?
Yeah, for sure. And it's a little bit different from lender to lender. But generally speaking, let's just say that it's a home loan that you want to defer for 6 months. So that interest that would normally be paid during that six-month period, that'll get added onto the loan term. That'll get added onto you'll pay that off over the remaining term of the loan. So let's just say in 6 months' time, you've still got 25 years left to pay off your loan. well, you'll pay that. So, and let's just say five grand was accrued over that, you know, in interest over that 6 month period. Well, that extra $5,000 you'll pay off over the remaining 25 years would be added on to what the original loan repayments would have been. That's in the home loan scenario. That's generally what would happen there. Now, with businesses, the banks are doing a range of things. So the banks are saying that, oh, you know what, we'll add an extra 6 months onto your loan term that you've got for your business loan. So that means that you won't be compounded then. They're just going to extend the term so that your repayments would have stayed as normal. So it is varying between bank to bank. But that's when, you know, what I would say is that out of all the discussions we've had with the banks, with, you know, many, many clients, they've been very receptive to help and be open to certain ideas. So I just urge people to have the discussion.
So, Dom, you're saying with some business loans, you can actually defer your payments and not actually get charged that at all. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, so you'll have to pay it, right? But it's not going to be... You have to pay the money back, but they'll extend the term. Like, so rather than it compound and you pay extra each month for the remaining term...
Like you're doing a housing loan.
Oh, you're doing a housing loan. Some banks are extending the term of the business loan by the amount of months that you've deferred it.
Yep.
So,
okay.
Dom, in simple words, a 25-year loan from now will become a 25-year and 6-month loan.
Yeah, if it's a business loan. Some of the banks are doing that. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Good on you, Dom. Thanks for joining us, mate. Good luck with funding options. I'm sure your phones are running off the hook trying to get people some help out there. Well done, mate. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
There he is, Dom Cassisi. Ruined It's on Triple M.